Good morning. Welcome to our morning service here at Independent Bible Church of Duryea. So good to see you here. Spring is almost upon us on the calendar. Lots of green today on this St. Patrick's Day. We talked about that a little bit in Sunday school. A lot of spring green out here today. Good to see all of you. Some smiling faces. We're thrilled to have you at this morning's worship service. Thank you if you're visiting with us. We're glad to have you as part of our service here today. Several that may be visiting, but maybe not a first-time visitor, but maybe first time in a while. And we are glad to have each one of you here today. We're going to begin with a word of prayer in just a second, and then we'll go right to the hymn book. After the hymn, the choir will sing a special, and Shane may share what they're singing. Does this have to do with the cantata coming up, or is this an older song? All right, this is an older. Okay, so cantata is coming up. It's hard to believe. We're only 2 weeks away from Easter Resurrection Sunday, less than 2 weeks away from our Good Friday service, Easter Cantata. So I know the choir has been singing a lot with that and rehearsing, and we're looking forward to hearing from them this morning. So we've got a couple hymns surrounded by the choir, a good opportunity to prepare our hearts with the things of the Lord. So may we sing from our heart, may we listen from our heart, may we prepare our heart this morning for worship. I'm going to invite you to stand if you could, if you're able to. We understand if health keeps you from doing that, you can stay seated, not a problem. But if you're able to stand, we'll let you stand here this morning. And we do want to go to the Lord in prayer. If you weren't with us in the Sunday school hour, we do want to lift up Mike Parent and family. He shared that his father lives in New Mexico, passed away. Was it yesterday? Yeah. Passed away yesterday. Many of you know he's on the prayer chain on Wednesday nights. And in his 90s? 93. His parents have been married for 70 years plus. And so obviously the Lord's given him a long life, but yet passed away. So please be praying for Mike, his siblings, family, his mother especially. There and the different arrangements there. We want to lift them up in a special way in prayer here this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning on a beautiful weekend, Lord. And though it's still winter on the calendar, and though we're probably going to have some winter still to come, Lord, even into April, we do enjoy the warm weather, Lord, the flowers coming out, the birds, and Lord, the sunshine. And we just thank you, Lord. We know that you're the creator, you're the sustainer, Lord. Whether it be sun or rain or snow or cold, whatever it may be, Lord, we give you the glory for you're in charge. Lord, we thank you that we can gather together, Lord, this morning. I know there are some here today, Lord, it's not easy to come on a Sunday, Lord. There may be great distance. There may be great challenge with children. Lord, there may be a lot of physical challenges that would be so much easier, Lord, just to sit at home. But I am thankful for each one that is here today. Lord, we know not everybody could be here. We know there are those that are watching live stream for different reasons, and we're glad to have that, Lord, as an option for folks. But Lord, nothing beats, nothing quite like meeting in person, your people gathering together on the Lord's Day as you planned it, Lord. I thank you that we can fellowship, we can encourage, we can see with our eyes, Lord, maybe those that are hurting, maybe those that are discouraged, maybe those that are rejoicing. We can use our spiritual gifts as you intended, Lord, to build one another in the Lord. We can see the lost maybe or visitors and be praying for them. Lord, I thank you that we can meet together, Lord, in this thing that you created and instituted called the church, the local church. Now, Lord, may we come today, I pray, with tender hearts to receive the word of God. Lord, we do want to lift up Mike, Parent, his family, his brothers and sisters, his mother especially, Lord. So many years, we praise the Lord for a long life. We praise the Lord for over 70 years of marriage, Lord. What a wonderful blessing. And Lord, now there'll be great sorrow, Lord, as one has gone home to be with you. We just pray for the family. Lord, no doubt there are those that may not know Christ, may not understand how to grieve as a believer, Lord. May have sorrow, Lord, as a lost person rather as a believer. And so, Lord, I pray for Mike and others that know Christ to be of great comfort, to be of great encouragement from the Word of God. The gospel could be shown and proclaimed, Lord, in the days ahead, including the funeral and the days after. Lord, encourage, Lord. You know the sorrow, Lord. You understand it quite well. So, Lord, in comfort as only you can do. And we thank you, Lord, for your word to comfort us as well. Lord, we ask your blessing now in the service. Prepare our hearts for receiving of the word of God. Now, as we sing, Lord, may we sing from a joyful heart. We praise your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Stay standing as our song leader comes.
And that would be hymn number 12. Hymn number 12, 1, 2 in the hymn book. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Hymn number 12 this morning.
Chosen.
Amen. You may be seated. Isn't that a wonderful song? All hail the power of Jesus' name. The scripture says, for is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Thank the Lord for that. The choir this time is going to sing a song called Morning Trumpet. It's not a new song, originally written in 1844 for a harp song. And through the years, it's just been a wonderful blessing. It speaks of the time of when the Lord Jesus will return to receive his church, and we're waiting for the trumpet sound. Thank you so much, choir. At this time, let's take our hymn book and turn to 463 this time. 463, this was a hymn of the month several months ago. Hopefully you remember it well. Blessed Assurance, 463. Let's go ahead and stand together once again as the choir comes down to join you when we begin to sing. 463.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight, angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. On the last stanza, perfect submission, all is at rest. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is
going to take our hymn books one more time. 269, I'll let you remain seated for this one. 269, it's been the song of the month for this month. In the garden, in the garden. 269, in the garden.
I come to the garden alone.
Second verse, ladies. Everyone now. Stanza, I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of
things just a little bit different this morning. We won't do this all the time, but we're going to have a reading of the scriptures together. So if you have a Bible, I encourage you to turn to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 8. We're going to do a reading together, if you would. We'll have you stand in just a second. If you don't have a Bible, there should be a pew Bible within hand's distance of you. You can grab that and you can turn in that to the book of Mark. If you don't know where your books of the Bible are, find the page here. I didn't have it pre-marked this morning. It would be page 1,407. All right. Took a while there. 1,407 if you're using a pew Bible. I'd love to have you have your own copy. If you don't have a copy of the Bible, you don't have a copy at all, but you say, I'd like to have one for myself, please see me after the service. I'll be happy to get you a Bible that you can read on your own. Mark chapter number 8. If you're able to stand, I'm going to encourage you to stand out of respect to the Word of God as we read this for what's called a public reading. We don't do this often, but we'll do that there this morning. You'll listen, but I'll do the reading. But pay attention. We're going to read a little lengthier section. You're going to read 21 verses, and you get the idea of this, what I'll be preaching from this morning. And you can get that in your heart and mind. After this, we'll have you sit, and it'll be a special in song. Mark chapter 8. We're doing a sort of a series as we get closer to Easter, Resurrection Sunday, and they're going to be focusing on the disciples. Last week, it had to do with what's your next step? The fishermen on the boat. Launch out a little, launch into the deep, let down your nets, and sort of seeing their reaction. Today, our audience again is the disciples. We're going to be looking at them each Sunday up until the Lord's Day on Easter Resurrection Sunday. So the Bible reads, Mark chapter 8, verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great, And having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him, and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way. For divers of them, or different variety of them, came from far. And his disciples answered him, From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? Lord, there's no way. We're out in the middle of nowhere. Verse 5. And he asked them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave it to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes. And he blessed and commanded them to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled. And they took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000. And he sent them away. And straightway, or immediately, he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, Why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them, and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, or basically lunch. Neither had they in the ship with them more than 1 loaf. And he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? When I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They say unto him, 12. And when the 7 among the 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, How is it that ye do not understand? That'll be the title of this morning's message. How is it that ye do not understand? You may have a seat. Praise the Lord for the reading of his word. At this time, we have a special in song. And then... Opening your Bibles back, if they're not already still open, to Mark chapter 8. Maybe it's still open there beside you on your lap or on the pew. Mark chapter 8. We'll let them slip out. Good group. Now let's be praying. You know, pray for nursery workers. Hey, if you're in the nursery, a lot of times there's no nursery on a Sunday night. A lot of times there's no nursery on a Wednesday night. A lot of times there's no nursery on Sunday school. A lot of times Sunday morning is the only time there's a nursery. So if that's your position, look at that as, hey, this is my opportunity this week. I'm going to be Spirit-filled nursery worker for an hour and a half, whatever it may be, God. All right? If you're a children's teacher, you say, hey, this is my opportunity this week. I've got young people, maybe the only opportunity, maybe the last time. I'm going to be Spirit-filled as a teacher, full of love and compassion, teach the Word of God, give the gospel, and pray for them. Pray for your children. Lord, if you have a child that's out there, a grandchild, and you've been praying for them to be saved, you should be praying the entire soul. Oh, God, save their soul. Help the teacher to give the gospel, Lord. Prick their heart. Help my student understand it, my child. Lord, they would trust Jesus Christ, see that they're a sinner. I hope you do that. You may be here with us as an adult, as a teenager. Longtime church member and need to be born again. Your greatest need needs to be Jesus Christ. Why don't you come to him today? Doesn't matter your past, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter anything other than that you realize you're a sinner, that Jesus Christ saves from sin. He paid the price on the cross. He offers salvation as a free gift, and it's available to you as you turn to him and believe. I hope you'll do that if you've never done that before. Mark chapter 8 is where we're at. Mark chapter 8, we already read the scripture, 21 verses. And a lot for some of you, it was a familiar passage. For some, though, it was not familiar. In fact, you may have, when we started reading, just assumed I was reading the feeding of the 5,000. And it may not have been until we got to the end that you saw feeding of the 4,000. And you may have even, perhaps, if you're new to the church or new to the faith or new believer, you may even have thought it's a contradiction or an error. All right? Because almost everybody has heard of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. It's the only miracle of Christ recorded in all four Gospels. The only one, Lazarus. I mean, the raising of Lazarus, which we might say is only in the book of John. All right? But the feeding of the 5,000 is the lone miracle of Christ that's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it's for a reason. And that is by far the most familiar and the well-known and the most taught and preached on miracle. And it is a tremendous, incredible miracle from the Lord. But this is a different miracle here in Mark chapter 8. And it is called the feeding of the 4,000. And I want to give you just a little bit of background, because you need to understand the background before you understand where we're getting to a little bit here today and what the Lord laid on my heart. So this miracle, the feeding of the 4,000, takes place, it's in Matthew and Mark. It's recorded in both of those books. It's recorded in both books about the halfway point. There are 16 chapters in the book of Mark. This is chapter 8. There are 28 chapters in the book of Matthew. It's in Matthew 15. But if you are studying the timeline of the Gospels and you just flip a few pages, now we don't have everything in perfect order. God has it in different things there. This miracle of the feeding of the 4,000 is not toward the beginning of Christ's ministry, but rather on the second half or perhaps even in his last year. What we looked at last week, the miraculous catch of fish, where Peter was amazed and James and John, and they forsook all to follow him. And he said, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Now, that was earlier on. That was likely his first year of ministry. And that was maybe when he was still calling all of his disciples. That was where maybe they were still early on and maybe hadn't been convinced and hadn't forsaken all. But by the time we get to the feeding of the 4,000 here, we are well past the halfway point. We are well past that first year of popularity. The crowds are still large, but they're beginning to thin. The disciples and people who are following are not as active. Persecution is ramping up some. The Pharisees are getting more and more upset and annoyed, threatening to kill him. And Christ is rapidly approaching the triumphal entry in Calvary. So this is not an early on miracle. The disciples have been with him now for quite some time. This is quite different than the feeding of the 5,000. Just a quick glance at verses 1 to 9 can tell you that. But many people read the Bible quickly. In the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus and his disciples are in what we would call Israel, more around Judea. The audience, the massive crowd, is almost all Jewish. And this miracle takes place during really the only time in his public ministry he ever left the borders of Israel. Now, we know he left the borders of Israel as a child when he went to Egypt with his parents. But his basic ministry was always, this is one of the few times he ever left Israel and went into what would be called Gentile territory. Christ is here with 4,000, and this is largely Gentile. The feeding of the 5,000, if you go read, takes place in one day. They're with him largely for one day, and it's getting dark. He feeds them, and in John 6, he feeds them and has a specific teaching on that he's the bread of life. In this, as you can see from the very beginning, these folks have been with him 3 days. 3 days. They're serious. They're not there for food. The feeding of the 5,000, a lot of them are there for food. It says so. They just want to see the next miracle. They're here for 3 days. They're intent on the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. They haven't even really eaten. In the feeding of the 5,000, we know well the little lad with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. But in this miracle, as you saw, there are 7 loaves and a few small fishes. In the feeding of the 5,000, they pick up 12 baskets of fragments, yet the Greek word is a small basket. In this one, they have 7 baskets. The Greek word is a large hamper. The same word for the basket that Saul was let down the wall in Damascus, if you are in our adult science school class. Large baskets. These are not the same miracle in any way. In fact, if there is any doubt, Christ clearly shows that in verses 19 and 20 when he asks them specifically, do you not remember this miracle and that? It's 2 completely separate, different miracles, different locations, different crowds, different purposes, and different times. And yet many are not familiar with this miracle, or just read it very quickly and casually, not understanding the point and the purpose. I'm going to look at that here today. I mentioned my title comes from verse 21. How is it that you do not understand? How is it that you do not understand? That's the words of Jesus now. Who is more gracious than Jesus? Who is more loving, compassionate, and patient than Jesus? Who is more gentle and meek and lowly than Jesus? And yet Jesus asked them very pointed questions to his followers. So it's okay to do that, all right, as a pastor, to ask you some pointed questions, even as I ask myself. So when we get to this point in Mark chapter 8, just what have the disciples seen and observed thus far? Because as we read this story, we're a little bit amazed. We read this story and we say to ourselves, what is wrong with these guys? Come on, fellas, get it together. I wouldn't do that. Come on, where is your faith? I can't believe your hard hearts. We stand on the output there, and we like to put the binoculars on these disciples. And we're like, I mean, these guys are just incredible. Can you believe their hard hearts? I mean, the Lord is having to deal with them. I mean, I would not do that. If I was one of the 12, I mean, I would be the one like, come on, guys. I mean, and yet these guys, I mean, now this is not early on, folks. This is not the miraculous catch of fish where it's early on, and they are astonished. Depart from me, O Lord. Now, they had seen some miracles at that point, but it was still pretty early. We're not talking about early anymore. If you wanted to go back and read, and don't do that right now, we're going to go back a little bit, in just the book of Mark, let me tell you what they've seen personally. They've seen Christ cast out demons. They've seen him healing all kind of sickness, the deaf, the blind, the dumb, lepers, lameness. They have seen all of that. They have seen the miraculous catch of fish, maybe not all of them, but some of them. They have seen him calming a storm already at sea while they were rowing and thinking they were going to sink. They have seen him raise someone from the dead already. Jairus' daughter. They have already been part of the feeding of the 5,000, a crowd of perhaps up to 20,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I mean, they were there, folks. They passed it out. They collected it. They saw in their own, whoa, how is this even possible? And they had already been given power by Jesus Christ to preach, to teach, to heal, and to cast out demons. Lest you not know that. They had already been given power by Christ personally, including Judas. They were casting out demons and healing people in the name of Christ as they were spreading the gospel. They had seen all of that. Now, if that was you, I know, here's what you're saying.
not me. I mean, if I'd have just been at one of those, I'd have been like, whew, I believe completely. What is wrong with these guys? I can't believe it. Well, let's take a look at what's going on. For that, let's go back just a chapter or two to Mark chapter 6. Go back to Mark chapter 6, just a page or two perhaps in your Bible. Now, in Mark chapter 6 is the feeding of the 5,000. We're not going to read the whole thing, but I want to read part of it. So Mark chapter 6, if we could pick it up there in verse 34. Mark 6, 34. Everybody there? Mark 6, 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, into villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? And then we have, therefore, the miracle. Tell them to sit down, put them in groups of 1,500. What do we have? And we have the 5 loaves, the 2 fishes, and we have the miraculous feeding of a gigantic crowd where the Lord is just, wait, you only had 2 loaves. Where is it coming from? Where? Hang on. How's it? And he has all that. Wow. Verse 44 says, and they did eat of the loaves for about 5,000 men. Wow. What if you were there? Now, if you were part of the crowd, you may not really realize what was going on. You may have. John 6 says that the people were prepared to make a riot and make him a king because of the miracle. We never have any reaction, though, from any of the disciples. It never says anything that they were like incredibly amazed or anything. Now, may have been so busy doing the job that they just were busy, busy, busy. Doesn't ever show anything. Now, what happens right after that? Verse 45. Straightway, he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before him, while he sent away the people. Verse 46. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when the evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing. Okay, so if you are reading the Bible, as soon as the miraculous feeding of the 5,000 and the teaching, he gets them in a boat and he sends them to the other side of the Sea of Galilee while he goes up into a mountain to pray. And he's there all night, and he notices them. They're down there, and these are hardened guys. They're in the middle of a storm. This is not the same one as what has already happened before. This isn't the one where he was sleeping in the boat. That was a different one. That already happened. That had already happened. Let that sink in. They'd already been on a boat with Jesus. They'd already been about to drown and were nervous and scared and even woke him up and said, don't you care that we're about to die? And the Lord said, well, you have little faith and calm. They had seen, I mean, they were there. Whoa. They've already been at the feeding of the 5,000. Now they're in another boat in the same ocean, Sea of Galilee, Christ is not with them. They're toiling. And the Bible says here, Christ, verse 49, when they saw, this is, some people get a lot of the Bible confused because they only read real casually. This is a separate miracle. And if you put the Gospels together, this is the same miracle where Jesus is walking on the water about to pass them by. That's interesting. This is the same miracle where Peter asked to come out and walk on the water. This is the same miracle where Peter gets ready to drown and Christ brings him into the boat, calms the storm. And this is the same miracle, John 6, where they are miraculously on the shore. There's several miracles that happened right here. The feeding of the 5,000. Whoa, the Lord's walking on water. Peter's walking on water. He gets him in the boat. There are and what's their reaction? Look at verse 51. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Now, pay attention to this verse. You may never have seen it. 52. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Just a little verse you read over very quickly. Get to the end of the chapter and did your chapter reading. Did my chapter reading. Now, wait a minute. They've already seen lots of miracles. They have already seen the Lord. Boom, peace be still. Whoa. They have just helped with the feeding of the 5,000. That was incredible. And they started with a little bag and they ended up with 12 baskets. And now the Lord has walked on the water. Peter's walked on the water. He calmed the storm, and the boat's on the shore. You and I would be like, oh, my word, isn't it? But they did not consider the miracle of the loaves, which he had just been part of. They were anxious and scared and fret and worried and astonished and amazed. And the Bible says their heart was hard. Now, let's not move on too quickly today. You say, well, okay, is that all we want to look at? No, let's look at a little more. Let's go into Mark 7. Mark 7, look at verse 24. Mark 7, 24. Now, you may not be familiar with this. It would be good for some to go back and study. This is the only time that we have record of in his public ministry, other than perhaps the demonic man of Gadara. You look at maps, you're never quite sure what the boundary is here. A lot of these are around the Sea of Galilee. All right, so besides perhaps Gadara, which, depending on what you read, could have been part of Israel, could not have been. This is the only known time that Jesus ever went out of the boundary of Israel during his public earthly ministry. If you were here a couple weeks ago for our missionary, Dr. Raymond, he was from Lebanon, right? And he mentioned these two cities because these two cities are in Lebanon. All right, verse 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon. He showed us on the picture. When we went to eat with them after the service, they're right there. That's in Lebanon. This is where Jesus went. He goes up into what's Gentile country, and he heals a Syrophoenician woman, a Gentile woman's daughter, who has a demon. And then right after that, in verse 31-32, he comes to Decapolis. That means a city, 10 cities, Decalogue, you know that 10. 10 cities, which is on the other side, which is also mostly Gentile Roman. And he heals a man there. All right, that area there, and he heals a man that was deaf. Whoa. And now the same, so we have three miracles that happen largely, we believe, in Gentile land. The Syrophoenician woman's daughter, Gentile. The blind man in the area of Decapolis, Gentile as far as we know. And the feeding of the 4,000, largely Gentile. Boy, that was a shock to these guys. As Christ came, did not just come for the Jews, but also for Gentiles in the whole world. And so when we get to this point, we're a little bit amazed. How do these guys not get it? I mean, if we were part of the miracle of the feeding of the 4,000 here, and Jesus came to us, and here we are, and he says, I have compassion on these people. They're not just following me like everybody used to do in the early days, because everybody just came out because there was big crowds. And that you can get big crowds. It's not hard to get big crowds. You can get, well, let's go. Look at everybody. Everybody was coming, and woohoo. No. These people are not really Jewish. I mean, these people are searching. They've been out for a couple days. They're not even thinking about food. They're hanging on every word of Christ as he teaches and preaches. And Christ looks at the masses. And he's not like, oh, like a lot of us, like me. Oh, yeah, time the clock. Get these people out of here. He's not like the disciples. People equal trouble. More people, more trouble. Therefore, stay away from people. You know, that kind of mentality. I have compassion on them. I see them not just as large crowds. They're with that, like, I want to feed. Fellas, we need to feed them. Now, here's what you and I would say. Come on, that's easy. Lord, you can do it. Lord, why are you asking us that? We remember. We know what happened last time. We didn't do a good job last time. Now, last time, what was their reaction? You're the same ones you and I have. Send them away. That was always their reaction as disciples, right? Get the little kids away from them. Kids are trouble. It's always broken my heart, people that act. I've heard many, many Christians in many churches. I don't want to work with nursery. I don't want to work with little kids. I don't want to work with teenagers. Whoa. I can't believe you even say that as a believer. Oh, I know it may not be your natural bent. But what? What? Where did you've come so hardened? How can you say that? Christ had compassion. Are we not to be like Christ? The disciples, though, these were early. Send them away. Get rid of the snotty-brained kids. We got places we got to be. Get rid of the Samaritans. Lord, I don't know what to do with this big crowd. Just get rid of them. Send them away. That's an easy solution. That's how a lot of Christians face their problems. Just run from it. And the Lord says, no. Then the Lord says, we need to feed them. Well, and then they did the second thing a lot of us do. If we can't get rid of the problem, we want to see how much money we have. Well, we don't only have like 200. We couldn't even buy bread for everybody. If we only had enough money,
I mean, isn't that the way we are? If I only had more money, if our church only had more money, if our family only had more money, then this, no. You don't need money. And we don't have to get rid of the crowd. We have to turn to Christ. And they failed the first time. But you would think, after passing it all out, and then the Lord to have a specific example, fellas, go pick up everything. That when they came back, they would be amazed as they counted. Whoa, we started with a little bag. We have 12 mini baskets of fragments and leftovers. That is incredible. Look what God did. How does he do that? God, the Bible says they were hardened. They did not even consider the miracle of the loaves. It was just business as usual. Business as usual. Business as usual. It's just another day. And now we come to Mark 8, and it's been months maybe. I have no idea the time. We don't know exactly. 6 months, 3 months, a year? And the Lord has done all kind of more additional miracles. And we're talking about men that are with them all the time now. We're talking about they sleep outside in the grass. They walk with him. They talk with him. They laugh with him. They cry with him. They sing with him. I mean, they're with him every place he goes. They have seen every miracle firsthand. I mean, they are right there. They can touch Jesus every single day. Whoa, what a privilege they had. And yet, when we come to the feeding of the 4,000, and he says, I have compassion, what are we going to feed them? They say in verse 3 how it must have grieved the heart of Christ. From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? They get together. Basically, they say, there's no way you can feed all these people out here in the middle of nowhere. We have no idea, Lord. Oh, how gentle and patient Christ is. How unlike Christ I am. How quick I am to get frustrated when people don't get it, and when the kids don't get it, when the teens don't get it. And yet how gentle Christ is with us. And we do the same thing every day and every Sunday and every week and every year. And the Lord, if he was like me, he'd say, I can't believe you don't ever get it. What is wrong with you? What do I have to do to get your attention? And the Lord says, tell him to sit down. We're going to do this again. What do we got? 7 loaves, 2 fishes. All right, here we go. And he feeds them again. And they pass it out again. And they collect it again. And this time, it's 7 large hamper baskets of fragments. And you and I say, I'm a little slow too. I would have got it by now. No way. No way. Yes way. You say, Pastor, what are you getting at here? What are you getting? Here's what I want to get at. Here's what the Lord's really been challenging me with. If it's possible for these men, these disciples, if it's possible for these men who are with Jesus Christ in the flesh every day, I mean, not just hearing about it and reading about it, I mean, they are on site, whoa. Come out of him! Peace be still! Boom! Blind, see, whoa! The dead, arise, damsel. If it's possible for these men who have personally seen all of that, and right there with Jesus, day in and day out, I mean, the closest you can get to him, they've seen his words, his actions, his reactions, his compassion, his love, his authority, his tenderness, his anger at the things of sin, whoa! They've seen the mighty miracles. If it's possible for these men to have hardened hearts, to have blinded eyes, to have weak faith, is it not possible then for me as well and for you? Or do we merely read the scriptures like it's an old book
And we read things like, I can't believe they did that. Never, never asking, Lord, is it I? Oh, God, is that me? Always sort of looking at David and all these people, never looking at his, oh, God, that could be me. That is me. Is it not possible, maybe even probable, that many of us as believers, busy doing the Master's work? Remember, these disciples weren't off in the vile sins. They weren't straying in the world. They weren't out partying. They were doing the Master's work. Like many of us, is it not possible or probable that you and I who are busy doing things in the name of the Lord, serving in the church, passing out tracts perhaps, sharing the gospel. Hey, remember, these men were preaching and healing on the side as well. They were preaching the same thing. Could we not be doing the exact same thing? Reading our Bibles, praying for missionaries, putting money in the offering, singing, and even preaching, and yet have a hard heart, and not even consider Christ and all that we do? The answer is obviously yes. Yes. If these men who were there with Jesus Christ, God Himself, Christ incarnate in the flesh, the great I Am, the Almighty God, the Jehovah Jireh, whoa! I mean, He was right there. If they could have hardened hearts, blinded eyes, and deaf ears, then so can you and I. With a complete Bible, the local church, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, there may be some who are into worldliness and wickedness and sin. And you may be into things God says is sin and wickedness, and I hope life is tough because the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. It is a hard life as a believer to live in sin and rebellion from God. But you might be saying, you know what, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. I'm doing just like the disciples. I mean, every day is the Lord's, even in my job. I mean, every day I'm just, whoa, every day. But they consider not the miracles. You can get so hardened like these men. I can get so hardened. It's just business. 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 No, you say, well, what's the point here? Before you and I say, well, it's possible, but it's not me. Before you quickly look away and say, well, I hope so-and-so's listening. Dare we answer no so quickly? Perhaps we should be like the disciples in the upper room. Lord, is it I? Oh my goodness, I know me. It could be me, Lord. If it's me, show me. Say, what's the point of all of this? I believe the point the Lord is teaching, and I want to emphasize today, is this. These men had been with Christ. They passed out the bread on two occasions. They picked up the fragments and leftovers. They saw Him create out of nothing and still kill the storms, the sick. I mean, they saw Him do everything. And yet at this point in their walk with the Lord, it had no real impact on their lives. It did not impact them in any way on a daily basis at all. It did not correlate to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or anything in between any service. It was just not impacting them. It didn't impact their emotions in any way. Did it? Ah, we're going to die, we're going to drown. Ah! You and I, whoa, calm down, fellas. Come on, come on. Now, we're looking at it from the other side with a big lens. Guys, you got Jesus right there with you. Come on. That works with you all the time? Really? So, no panic when the money's not there. No. Whoa. Now, we always have to differentiate between, why is this happening in my life? Is it sin? Are the health problems sin-related? Are the finance problems sin-related? Are the children and marriage problems sin-related? If it is, we're not blaming God for any of this. You can't expect Him to come to the rescue. You got to get down. Why is life this way? Am I in disobedience? Am I in anger and bitterness? Am I in worldliness and lust? Am I disobeying God? But if you're walking with the Lord in the light of His Word and the Holy Spirit bears witness of that and you're going through hard times, has Christ impacted you in any way that you're different? The disciples, this is the second time in the boat. They were frightened, they were anxious, they were nervous. Their emotions had not been affected in any way. They were worried all the time, fearful, stressed, and anger. I hear a lot of believers talk that way. I can talk that way. I get that way. There was no impact on their compassion or love. You guys, you've been with Jesus for like 2 years. How can you still say, send them away? I mean, that's cold. I mean, but that's, get all these kids and children, get out of here, dirty, nasty, get them out of here. Come on, Lord, we got places to go. No, you can get offering from kids. We need, get rid of them. Get them out of here. When everything pristine and clean. Just have a nice building with no problems. It looks perfect. And it's dead. 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 Come on, Lord. We don't want to go to Samaria, but those people are, bleh. It did not impact them in any way. Hard hearts. 2 years, 2.5 years with Jesus. No compassion or love for anybody yet. Yet. Has Christ impacted you in any way? Do you have compassion? Do you have mercy? Do you have patience? Do you have love for people? It didn't impact them in their finances, right? When they had a major need or the provision, they didn't say, Lord, we're trusting you. They said, all right, what do we got? What's the bank account have in it? How much we got in savings? They did not look to the Lord. It was exactly what they always did. How much money? We don't have enough. What happens when you have some trials like that? Do you look to the Lord? Are you calm? God, you're the great I am. Again, you have to make sure why you're in that position. Or panicky, stress, ulcer, all the things that the world. Whoa. So Christ has not impacted you in any way? It didn't impact them with their how they handled problems and trials. They had all the worldly things. They handled it like lost people. They didn't have any, their thinking had not been had been renewed in any way. Their thinking was exactly the way it was. Nothing about the Lord. Lord, I don't know, but I know you got the answer. Lord, you're, okay. Lord, we trust you completely. I have no idea. Nope, they didn't think about any of that stuff. We got to row. We got to get to shore. We got to put our wits. We got to figure it our way. Nothing. These are guys that have been with them for several. It didn't impact them in any spiritual thinking, did it? Ooh. Now, lest we be too harsh, we have a series. And when we get to the end, you're going to see God do a great work with these men. And praise God that they changed. And praise God for his graciousness and his gentleness and his patience with them. I get weary reading about them. I'm just reading about them. I can get frustrated with teens just on a 5-hour activity. Can you imagine having the 12 teens with you for 3 years? Can you imagine having 12 new believers? Whoa! Some of us, a 1-hour discipleship with them, we're let somebody else do it. That's always interesting. Let someone else do it. What if everybody says that? It's okay for you to say, but what if everybody said that? Then who would do it? Let somebody else work with the kids. Let somebody else be in the nursery. Let somebody else go soul winning. Let somebody else clean the church. Let somebody else work with the teens. Well, that sounds good, but what if everybody said that? Can you be with Christ and say that? You can. You can say all that. Because these guys were. They didn't consider the miracles did not impact them. I mean, none. I mean, the Lord was probably not amazed. He's God. We don't have any food. We're around the middle of nowhere. I have no idea. There's no villages, no deli or nothing. I don't know what we're going to do, Lord. But even then, when it was over, we're going to get to the second part of this. These men were earthly minded, hard hearted. They were just on business. It didn't impact their time in any way. Their time was their time. It was their time. It was always on their time. Time. Not the Lord's time. Not the Lord. It was always theirs. Now let me ask you, personal application here before we move on. Has the Lord impacted you in any way, teenager? Parents? Husbands? Wives? seasoned veteran believers who've been saved for 40, 50, 60, 70 years? These guys hadn't. You say, well, what's going on here? All right. I mean, Christ had compassion on people. They said, send them away. Christ was the living bread. And they said, Lord, we don't have enough money. Christ warned them of false doctrine. We're going to get to that here. We see a little shift. So he feeds the 4,000. They gather up the baskets. It doesn't appear to, no big deal. I mean, it was just, we did what he told us to do. Nobody even really noticed. It's like, okay, well, now what? All right, verse 10, let's pick it up. And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came to the parts of Dalmanutha. We don't even really know where that is. There's not really on a map today. It could be Gentile territory. It's certainly around the Sea of Galilee at some point. It's likely back on a little bit more of Jewish territory. Why? Because verse 11, the Pharisees came forth. They were upset with him. You go back a chapter or two, he had really given it to them and denounced them, and they were still angry about it. And so they got another chance. They're asking for... I didn't mean asking for signs. You know how many signs he's already given? You know, they just want him to do something for their own. No. And other gospels say there will be no sign given except what? The sign of Jonah. You want to know? I've already given you everything. You've had John the Baptist. You've had the Father. You've had my miracles. You've had my word. There will be no sign given to you except Jonah. My death, my burial, my resurrection will be the sign of who I am. And he gets on the boat again. He sighs deeply in verse 12. Not a sinful frustration or just grieving deeply. Why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verse 13. Let's pick up the end of this as we draw the net. And he left them and entered into the ship again to part of the other side. Now, there's a lot of back and forth. One part of the Sea of Galilee to the other, to the north, to the south, to the Jewish, to the Gentile. He gets on the ship again. Christ is on the boat. He's in deep thinking, though. He's thinking. He's burdened. He's grieved. The disciples. And then the Lord just said something out of the blue that nobody was really talking. But it all goes back to the previous conversation with the religious leaders. And the Lord just speaks out. And all the disciples hear him say it. Verse 16. And he said it for them. He charged them. He said, it's almost like he said, listen up, fellas. What, guys, the Lord's talking. Take heed. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Now, that's all he said. So then he maybe goes back into deep thought, looking out at the water, and they're looking at each other. What does that mean? What do you think that means? What is he talking about? And they come to the conclusion that the Lord is... He's not happy that we don't have lunch. Now you and I, we are like, what? That's not what the Lord... I can't believe they're thinking. We know Jesus. Careful. Don't say too much. Stop. Now, Jesus is speaking on a spiritual tone, and he's warning them of the leaven. Remember, leaven, false doctrine, sin, yeast, just a little leaven of the whole lump. He's warning, he says, beware of the leaven, the false teaching and doctrines that the Pharisees teach, and of the false doctrine of those that follow Herod. But all they hear is leaven. Isn't it amazing sometimes what we hear? You can hear this. I mean, we're in the same message. Some people just get one little burr out of the side. They hear one little thing. They only cling to one. They don't listen to the entire thing. They don't even read the scriptures. They just focus on that. You can get all way off. We say, well, let's go back and listen to the whole thing and sit down together and listen to it. In the context. That's not what I was saying. All they heard was leaven, and then they're like, and they're hungry. And they're like, uh-oh. The Lord's not happy again. What do we got? We only got one loaf. Now, it's sometimes humorous, but it's not. We only got one loaf. We had seven baskets. I can't believe it. The Lord is, he's over there not that happy. I can't believe it. Verse 17, do you see the gentleness of Christ? And when Jesus knew it, he knows all things, doesn't he? They were whispering. They were keeping this quiet. They were trying not to bother him. And when he knew it, he knew exactly what they were saying. He said unto them, now these are very powerful questions. Please don't think that because the Lord or a preacher or someone that loves you asks some pointed, direct questions that it's not loving. Christ was a mixture of what? Grace and truth. Grace and truth. There has to be a balance. And Christ didn't just overlook this. Well, we need to love them. What are they going to think? No, love has the end result in mind. You don't love your kids if you're putting them in positions that are ruin their life and their testimony and get them off track. That's not love. As a parent, I've got to know what's their greatest need, and I've got to meet that. And I've got to protect them from anything that harms that and remove anything that would get them astray. I've got to know that. What's the greatest need of these fellows? Me just ignore this? No. And he asked, really, I think there's six questions here. It must have shocked them. They were hungry. They were thinking of food like you and I do. They were looking at the clock. They were like, man, it's time to eat. Where are we going? Aren't we done with the day yet? It's 11:45. Let's get out of here. No, you're not saying that. Maybe. We got places to go and things to do. Come on, Lord. Business as usual. Business as usual. I talk to the people I talk to. I'll say hi afterwards. We'll do our thing. Whoa. And the Lord asked them some questions. Verse 17. Why reason ye because ye have no bread? I know we have no bread. I'm not interested in bread. I didn't bring up yeast and leavened bread for that. Why are you reasoning among yourselves? Perceive ye not, neither understand. You do not know what I'm talking about. You do not truly perceive it. You do not really understand what we're dealing with. Have ye your heart yet hardened? Verse 18. Having eyes, how can you not see? Your eyes are blinded. You're right here with me. You have ears, but you don't hear. You're not hearing what I'm trying. He's lovingly, but yet authoritatively. Do ye not remember, verse 18? God, do you not remember? Oh, how the Lord lovingly says that to you and I. Lord, thank you for providing. That was awesome. That was miraculous. I'll never forget. Next week, money shortage. The same thing. And the Lord says, do you not remember? When are you going to trust me? Why are you panicking again? Why every time do you panic? Why are you always stressed and anxious or get angry? Do you not remember? What is he saying? You really do not know me yet. You're with me all the time. You're right here. You're blind. You're deaf. You're hardened hearts. You can touch me, but you don't remember. And then the Lord summarizes exactly what he's talking about, verse 19. When I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? Now, they did remember that, didn't they? That was easy. There's 12 of us. And we each had a basket. Don't you remember? Oh, yeah, Lord, we all brought back a basket. By the way, the true reason why I had them gather that. There's the true reason right here. He tells us. And when I fed the 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? 7. That's why I had you do that. There's the number one reason why I had you do that. So that you would stand amazed that I am the bread of life. That I started with nothing and look what we have at the end. Only God can do that. It was a visual reminder of the power and the majesty and the greatness of God. And he summarizes that and shows us that's true because verse 21 says, and he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? How is it? Now, he didn't say it frustratingly, maybe like I would. I think he said it with love. How is it that you do not understand? You do not truly understand and know me. You don't know that I'm able. If you did, you would turn to me. You wouldn't be anxious and fretting. You wouldn't talk about sending a people away. You've not been impacted by me, though you're with me. You're still babies in Christ. And we can be so busy doing all good things. I mean, these guys were busy, busy, busy. You and I would say, what a privilege. Oh, these guys, I would have loved to have been there. But you and I could be the exact same thing. They were hardened. They thought only of the earth. And they're not done yet. And the Lord's going to continue teaching them. We'll get to that next Sunday. Because he's going to zero in on what's coming, the cross. they're not going to understand. They're not going to want to understand. They're not at the end yet. The Lord is bringing them to where He wants them, and His graciousness is a shepherd, as the sheep go astray. I'm going to ask you here as we get to the conclusion, this is for believers today, for those who know Christ. Could you and I be like those disciples? Did the Holy Spirit prick your heart as He pricked mine preparing? Oh my goodness, Lord. I have eyes, but I don't see as Christ sees. I have ears, but I don't hear as Christ wants me to hear. I have hearts, but my heart is hard and cold many times. Christ wants me to be tender, compassionate. He doesn't want me to be in a hurry. Get in, get out. Do my duty. Shake a few hands, say a few smiles, talk to my friends, and leave. He doesn't want me just to check in and check out. And if I come to all services, that's my 6 hours for a whole week. And we can be sharing the gospel, passing out tracts all during the week. We can be doing all kinds of good things and staying away from bad things. And we can be as cold and as stone-hearted as these guys who were preaching and healing. And walking with Jesus and probably seeing results. And that we know they saw results. Because they came back and said, wow, Lord, look at all that's happening. It's awesome. But they were hardened. And the Lord said they were hardened. And you and I can be so busy doing good things and the things of the Lord. And I think these men were sincere. And you can be sincere. And you could long for them to know Him more. That doesn't mean that we don't need God to break our hearts. I think the Lord would simply say, you do not truly know me, though. You do not truly know me because you're not becoming like me. Just because you've been associated with me a long time doesn't mean you're becoming like me. That's not the equation. X amount of years saved, X amount of years serving, X amount of years in church equals like Christ. No, it's not. You can become with me all the time and do all kinds of things and be hard and cold and never consider the miracles of who I really am. I want you to turn to me and say, oh God. Now you're going to see that all changes in the book of Acts. Praise God. And you're going to see oftentimes what it took for them and what it takes for you and I. It's called persecution. Both for individuals and believers many times, not always. And it begins to sink in and they begin to realize who Jesus Christ really was. And who He is and what His power is. Yet Christ says, I still love you. Though you fail, I love you. You're my child. I'm patient with you. I'm gentle. I love you. But I want you to be like me. I want you to learn compassion. Are you willing to learn compassion? Or you're like, it's over. Are you willing to learn patience? Are you willing to learn ministry and time and service? Are you willing to let God have His way with your emotions and reactions and how you handle things? Are you willing to allow the Lord as Almighty God to have His way, to trust Him with finances and trust Him with family? Again, that's according to walking with His Word and obeying His commandments, not a quick casual thing and then God's got to do all that. But I'm talking about I'm going to do it God's way and I'm doing it His way no matter what happens. And we're doing it, we're locked in and God, you've got to do a work. And we're trusting you, God. Oh, God, do a work. And the Lord says, okay, great, then follow me. Follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. And I will give you a burden for souls. And I will smooth those rough edges and chisel off those things that need to do. And I will get rid of those things that are prickly and rough and they're not like me. But you're going to need to spend close time with me. Perhaps your prayer today as we prepare for invitation would be this. And you need to mean it. Don't say it just because oh, God, change me. Change me. Don't change my wife. Don't change my husband. Don't necessarily change my children. Don't change this church. Don't change my enemy. Oh, God, today I'm praying, change me. Me, God, me. If nobody else changes, change me. God, do whatever you've got to do to break up the hardened heart if it's hard. Break up the fallow ground. Lord, I know you'll be gentle with me. I'm not scared of that, God. You're gentle. You'll be gentle with me. But Lord, please have your way with me. I don't want to stay this way. I don't want to stay this way. I don't want to just be around you and singing and talking and all of this stuff and reading the Bible day in and day out and not even really, really, really know you. and just live oftentimes as lost people, frustrated, stressed, anxious, worried, fearful, and everything has to make sense according to the world. I want to live by faith. In a living, true God. God, break my hard heart. Open my blind eyes. Open my deaf ears. Increase my faith. Like that parent in the book of Mark. Oh, God, increase my faith. Help my unbelief, Lord. Please. I want to, Lord, but I can't do it. And the Lord says, I'm gentle. Follow me. I will help you. Maybe like Paul, you would say, oh, that I may know him. I want to know you, Lord. Can you truly know him without suffering? Can you truly know him without persecution and trial? Can you truly, deeply, intimately know him? Without that, you can't. But the Lord says, follow me. Follow me. I will make you what I want you to be. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. How is it that you do not understand? How is it that you do not understand? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're going to do business with God here for just a few minutes. It's between you and the Lord. Maybe your greatest need, again, is you need to be born again. Oh, you hear these messages, but if you're not saved, they're not for you. You can't follow them until you get saved and trust Him as Savior. You can't do all these things. You'll never be what God wants you to be until you receive the gift of His Son. That's the first and most important step you must receive by faith as you turn from your ways and sins and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Oh, would you do that today? In just a second, the music will begin to play. There'll be a song of invitation. Oh, if you need to be born again, if you need to say, today's the day, I need to be saved. Oh, God's been tugging at my heart. I feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to run anymore or resist. I want to be born again today. I'm going to ask you to slip out of your pew and just head to the back. We'll have some men and ladies back there ready and eager with a smile, with a Bible, to open the Bible and say, what can I help you with? What can I help you with? And they'll be willing to answer your questions, pray with you, and give you counsel and advice. If your greatest need today is, Pastor, I'm saved. Oh, but my heart has grown cold. I know it has. My heart has grown hard, and I know it has, and it's prone to. And one decision won't change that. It's an everyday, daily softening of the heart and being like Christ. Oh, the world will harden it. Circumstances will harden it. Other people will harden it. Oh, God, you've got to keep me soft. God, you've got to keep me tender. God, I want to be like you. It's not too late to change. If that's you, I want to encourage you to come now as the music begins to play. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed as you begin to hear the piano as Shane begins to sing a song of invitation. We don't want an emotional decision. We want a real decision because the Holy Spirit has spoken to you. If you need to be born again, would you slip out right now? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You can be saved today. If you need to get things right with God, the altar's open. Be happy to pray with you. Why don't you come? Have a tender heart. Oh, God, change me. I want to know you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.
Our God measures man.
Don't resist. Don't resist God. God is so gracious and kind and gentle.
For he sees underneath.
Come to him.
Every outward design. He looks past possessions and costly attire. He studies the heart. Every thought and desire.
How is it that ye do not understand, he says?
For the eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro.
Do ye not remember?
We have no secret.
Do you remember the last time you got right with God and how gracious he was? Don't forget that.
Our Father knows our thoughts. He understands every part. Man sees the outside, but God sees the
heart. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're doing business with God as he continues to sing.
Our God does.
Oh, sinner, would you come to him today? It's okay if you're afraid. Someone can go with you. Come to Jesus Christ right now. Believer, is your hard heart during this invitation? Oh, can you remember the last time you had a soft heart in invitation and said, oh, yes, God? Yield to him.
keeps his heart pure, for the eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro. We have no secrets that our God does not know. Our Father knows our thoughts. He understands every part. Man sees the outside, but God sees the heart.
Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the Word of God. Oh Lord, it is that which can pierce the hardest heart. O Lord, thou disciples who followed thee, who sought after thee, who sought to understand, yet had hardened hearts. O Lord, thou knowest our hearts. We cannot hide our hearts from thee. O Lord, would you deal with us as is needful in our lives? Would you make our hearts tender, not going through the motions, but loving the one whom we serve. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.